Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying Roland Springs. I'll get it right in a minute at Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is in 2 Corinthians, and we are on Lesson 8, and this lesson includes chapters 8 and 9, and it's about giving. And that's what Paul is talking about in these two chapters. Let's begin our study in prayer, and then we'll review what we have already studied. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come before you to study your word, that your Holy Spirit, Father, will teach us and guide us and direct us and give us a wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your truths, Father, that we may share what we learn, that we may live it in our lives every day and reach out to others that they may come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And be encouraged by the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, going back to, we're doing this study today in chapters 8 and 9. So I'll quickly review chapters 1 through 7 to get us up to date, to get the context of this letter. We know that it began with comfort in affliction, and Paul explained why his plans to visit Corinth had changed. He didn't want to go again and be sorrowful. The first time he came, he brought sorrow because of what was going on in the church. He had to bring correction and warnings. And then in chapter 2, we learned that there was false teaching at Corinth, and the people there in the church was questioning Paul's authority as an apostle. And then chapter 3 compares the ministry of the Spirit, which is the new covenant, and the old covenant, which is the law. And then in chapters 4 and 5, we saw that Paul encouraged them not to lose heart in the ministry, even when they had to face affliction. And he continued writing to them about the ministry of reconciliation and presenting the gospel so that the people are reconciled to God. And then in chapter 6, in chapters 1 through 6, Paul referred to his relationship with the Corinthians, and he asked the church to make room in their hearts for Timothy and him. And it was a strained relationship. The Corinthians were restrained in their affections toward Paul and Timothy. And Paul warned them about being bound with unbelievers and about going back to the worship of false idols. And in chapter 7 that we studied last week, Paul referred to a letter that he wrote that caused sorrow to the Corinthians. But he also, in that letter, urged them to repent. And Titus brought news of how they received the word. So Paul rejoiced over it. And he ended chapter 7 by saying that he had confidence in them. So that gets us to the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. So I'm going to read the first 6 verses. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality, and I can't pronounce that. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. Now let's look at these verses and see what Paul is saying to the church there at Corinth. How did he approach them on the subject of giving? He said that the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. So it was God's grace that was in the first verse. It was only through the grace of God. So that's how that the churches in Macedonia were affected, as were saints in Achaia, but they generously gave out of their poverty, even though there were many that were in poverty. They gave anyway of what they had. And then we see in Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, how that Jesus commended the poor widow who gave out of her poverty. She gave all she owned, trusting God to provide her needs. So they wanted the favor of helping the saints. So in looking back in 2 Corinthians 1, in verses 15 and 16, Paul's plan had been for the Corinthians and the churches in Achaia to help him financially on his way to Judea. But first, he said they gave themselves to the Lord, and Paul, Timothy, and Titus. This was the very thing that Paul desired from the Corinthians. And Titus had previously begun a work of giving among the Corinthians, so he was sent to complete this task, this work. So now let's look at verses 7 through 15, and I'll read these verses. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is your advantage. Who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it, but now finish doing it also, so that just as there were the readiness to desire, so there may also be the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the case of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their needs, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. And verse 15 says, as it is written, he who has gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. Let's look at these verses now. Paul exhorted the Corinthians to abound in their work, their gracious work. It was an act of grace, the same as the Macedonians had done. So they did abound. They excelled in faith by utterance, that's by speech, by knowledge, by earnestness, and by love. And it was a way that they proved their sincerity. And we know that Jesus himself is the example of the rich becoming poor for others, to be made rich, not in money, but spiritual riches. Look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So, we know that Jesus, being the Son of God, being God in the flesh, he did not give up his deity, but he gave up the throne to come to this earth to take on flesh, that he might become poor, to become in the flesh, and to go to the cross, and that even though in his poverty he became rich, even in his poverty when he died on the cross, God the Father raised him the third day, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is seated on the throne. So that is how we see that he became rich, but first he became poor. So Paul encouraged them by writing that the Corinthians had been the first to desire and give. They had been the first church. So he is saying, now you need to complete the readiness and the desire. So he was sending Titus. So what is the principles of giving in verses 12 through 15? Giving is based on what a person has. This was the first principle, not on what he doesn't have. And it was also for equality, fairness, as one's abundance supplying the need of the other, making another person that's in need equal with the one that has abundance. So also another principle Paul supported was from Exodus, talking about equality. And he said, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. So he had quoted the scripture to show that this had been spoken in the Old Testament. So let's continue now and finish up this chapter so we can get into chapter 9 for today's lesson. And I'll read quickly verses 16 through 24. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. We have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel have spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness, taking precaution so that no one will discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the church, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you. So what is Paul saying? What has happened in this paragraph? What did Paul want the Corinthians to know? Titus had agreed to go to Corinth, and he had wanted to go. And verse 23 calls him Paul's partner and fellow worker among the Corinthians. So he also mentions a famous brother who was sent along with Titus. And this brother has been appointed by the churches to travel with Paul in the gracious work of giving. And this was a precaution so that the ministry would not be discredited. And even another tested and earnest brother was sent with them. And the churches wanted all of this to be honorable and look that way to the people. Now, looking at verse 23, it refers to these brothers as messengers of the churches. It doesn't give the names of them, but they are called brothers, and they're also called messengers. So what was the final exhortation in this chapter? It was to show Titus and the others coming with him the proof of your love, the church's love, and it was to show them that Paul and Timothy's reason was a boast about boasting about them. That Paul and Timothy were just boasting, not of themselves, but they were boasting about the church and their serving the Lord and taking part in this ministry. Now let's go on quickly to chapter 9, and I'll read the first 5 verses. For it is superfluous, that means unnecessary, for me to write to you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your readiness. Now, this letter, remember, is to the Corinthian church. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely, that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I have sent the brethren in order that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case, so that, as I was saying, you may be prepared. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. So what is this paragraph about? What did Paul want? What is the continuing subject? Paul didn't need to write the saints in Achaia. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that. Some pronounce it Achaia. Giving. He really didn't want to, because they already wanted to give, and he had boasted about their readiness to Titus and to the Macedonians. But he sent them ahead so that the gift would be ready when they got there. So what was the concern then? That the promised blessing not be affected by covetousness. That what they were giving would be given by the grace of God from their hearts, and that they wouldn't covet what they were given. He wanted it to be a free gift. And then let's read 6 through 15. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread, excuse me, for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything, for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by the ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. And look at this 15th verse. Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And there he's speaking of Jesus, the indescribable gift. Let's go back and look then quickly of what are the principles in these verses. First of all, Paul says that to sow sparingly, then you will reap sparingly. But to sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And he is saying then, don't be purposed in your heart, grudgingly, reluctantly, or without compulsion, but give cheerfully. God's grace abounds to sufficiency in everything. He gives the abundance for every good deed, including giving. And Paul quoted Psalms 112:9 about the one who gives. People who give are enriched in everything. And we know thanksgiving is given to God. And this giving is a ministry of service to supply the saints' needs. Those who receive give thanks to God and glorify Him, and they pray for the giver. Now, remember, these churches, this is the beginning of the coming of the churches. They're being built up by the disciples, the apostles, that Jesus Himself commissioned them to go into the world and preach the gospel. So, trying to get started in their work of the ministry, several of the churches were in need of funds, and they needed support physically, and they needed support spiritually. And their spiritual needs would be given to them by the other churches that had been blessed abundantly, that had people that had more that could give. And so that's what Paul is trying to teach. If you have abundantly, you should give abundantly. But if you don't have, you should give sparingly. That's showing that you still have a heart to give and to do what you can. And also, they could pray for each church, pray for one another. And that's what we need to do today in our churches. Not only giving the money that people are in need of, but for giving them spiritual blessings by praying for them, that God would just pour His grace upon them. Now, what have we learned about God from this chapter? We know that he is able, that he abounds in grace, and he supplies all. You can look back in the Old Testament, and I'm not going to read these. You can write down these verses. Isaiah 55:10 and Hosea 10:12. So we want to give thanks to him and glorify him because of his surpassing grace. And of course, as we read in that 15th verse, his indescribable, inexpressible gift. And that gift, we know, is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Whenever he went to the cross and gave all, he gave himself, he was a sacrifice. He took all of our sins. And we know that through his precious blood that we are saved if we have the faith and we repent of our sin. So how does it close? How does Paul close this chapter? Giving thanks to God. And he expressed again in that 15th verse the indescribable gift that is Jesus, his death and resurrection, the gospel, life in him, that we may have everlasting life, that we may have resurrection. Where did Paul put his focus and why? He put his focus on God, because Paul knew that everything came from God, that all that we have and everything that we have is given to us by the grace of God. Now, what would be the theme of these two chapters, chapters 8 and chapters 9? We might say in chapter 8, the Corinthians began gracious gift and now finish it. That would be a good theme for chapter 8. And then in chapter 9, a good theme for that chapter, it's about giving, bountiful giving, generous contributions. So this is what Paul is trying to instill, not only in the Corinthian church, but to all churches and all believers today, that God graciously has given to us the indescribable gift, and we should be willing to give back by giving to others and helping take care of their needs. So let us close today's lesson in prayer. Father, I pray that you will remove from our hearts any envying or anything that would cause us not to want to give graciously, generously to those in need. Help us, Father, to be aware of all of those around us and even around the world that are in need. And may we give generously. May we give unbegrudgingly to glorify you, Father, and to help others that their needs would be filled. Thank you again for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that inspired these to write it down, that we have it today and we can meditate and give thanks to you. And I praise you, Father, And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.